difference now. Winston Mankunku Ngozi, the late Winston Mankunku Ngozi of South Africa, heavily influenced by John Coltrane, with a number called The Birds. This is from his 1968 album, Yaku. He died of heart failure at age 66 in 2009. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And today, of course, you know, is Free Your Mind Friday. Nobody could claim, well, I don't know what happened this past week. I can't put my finger on it. This was one heck of a week. My goodness. All over the place. Lots and lots happening, and not much of it really heartwarming and good. You know what I mean? It calls upon us to just keep our senses and to be on the alert and to basically mind our own business, literally, because this couldn't be going anywhere that we wanted to go. We couldn't possibly look to this government as a sane government that is really trying to serve the needs of the people. It's not happening that way. And we would be crazy to think that better days are ahead. I don't think that they are ahead. I think better days would be ahead if we make it so. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And what I'd like us to do is to really get into debating. We're not debating enough. We just, you know, saying our piece and then taking off. No. I want you to be able to stretch out a bit and give us some kind of insight as to how you came to think what you're thinking. You know, back up your views. And so when people call in to take you on, they have a specific or maybe many specific reference points based on how you laid your argument out. One note of housekeeping is that on Monday, April the 22nd, Lead Stories is happily preempted. That is to give Gary Null the time and space that he needs for a two-hour Earth Day special presentation. So don't expect me to be on the air on Monday, this coming Monday, but do expect a very special presentation by Gary Null in commemoration of Earth Day. All right? Got all of that? All right. That's all the housekeeping we're going to do. And now let's get on to your calls at 888-874-4888. Be as tight as you can so that we can accommodate as many people as possible. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice. How are you feeling?
I'm hanging in.
Always happy to hear that.
Thank you.
As far as the Mueller report goes, it's amazing how different news organizations have different views in regards to the report. And the thing that always gets me is people get a report and they subjectively read certain sections of the report and never read the whole report before they give an analysis. But the most unnerving thing to me is that you basically hear from nothing but white men and white women. Why isn't it that there isn't people of Latino descent or African descent that have the ability to articulate what's going on?
Okay, so answer the question. You know the answer.
Well, I don't want to be, a troublesome soul.
It's just you raised a question,
the
answer to which you know. What is the answer?
Yeah, I mean, it's blatant racism.
Okay.
It's blatant bias towards people of color's analysis and their position in this country and their ability to articulate the madness that's put in front of them. You know, I mean, it's like the same basic voices giving analysis, and when you think about it, the analysis is not that broad. It's not that taken out of the box. It's like
you never hear them discuss Venezuela. Have you read the report yet?
No, I haven't read the report. To be honest with you, I wouldn't even waste my time reading the report. I will say this. There's a couple of people that I would like to hear their take on the report. Matter of fact, one of your good buddies, I don't know if y'all still good buddies now, but you'll get a chuckle out of it when I say his name, Playtel Benjamin. I'm going to love to see what his take is going to be on the report. I mean, that's something I'm looking forward to reading when he does his commentary, because you know Playtel. But, I mean,
analyze a report such as this, you have to take a preponderantly legal perspective on it, because that's what it is. It's a legal report covering charges that were levied against the president and for which a special counsel was appointed. This is the report he has produced. So it's very much in the legal realm. You know, we have to get to that point of debating legal points, not whether how you feel about it, what you like, what you don't like. These things are irrelevant. They are concrete legal points that must be discussed.
Well, if you're going to discuss it legally, from what I've basically heard, Mueller was basically neglected in, as some would say, his dealing with Trump's children.
This is, again, the bottom line is you ought to get a read of it yourself.
Right.
Don't go by what people are saying. They're saying whatever they're saying. Because when you read the report yourself, you'll find yourself questioning things specifically from your vantage point, your experience, your particular need. You can't take anybody else's word for it. I mean, they'll generally discuss some of the big points. But this is a 400-plus page report.
Yeah, but
it is not fast reading.
Are you gonna read it yourself?
I am already.
Okay. Now, you know, the thing is, I don't really know if the Congress and the Senate is willing to do the necessary work in regards to honestly dealing with the report. From what I'm hearing through the Congress, Pelosi doesn't want to impeach Trump. she doesn't want to do, it seems to me, the necessary work to put forward an impeachment platform so that, you know, they could do whatever they're going to do. For some reason, she feels that if she does that, that will only increase and solidify his base, and that she feels the best way for the Democrats to get into office is to just get people to come out to vote based on what they're talking about, Obamacare, the economy, the taxes that they do. But I'll say this, and I'll go so you can get somebody else on it. The Democrats do not have the agenda, nor the platform, nor the internet, nor the spirit, nor the fight to get this man out of office. I'm giving out 16-1 odds that he'll be reelected. That's how confident I am that he will be reelected, because they do not have anything in place to remove him in office, nor are they going to fight hard enough to remove him out of office, and they don't have the people to get him out of office, because if you notice, they keep on going after the progressive members of their Congress and their party.
But you don't know that they don't have the wherewithal to impeach the president. The party, like most other parties, is in a state of flux within itself.
Okay. So how long are you going to be in flux for? But how long are you going to be in flux with somebody like Donald Trump in office? You cannot continuously be in flux. There should have been a plan in place from the time he got into office to now to be able to get him out of office. And I'm going to leave you with this. Now, this may surprise you. I think that Barack Obama, when he put Tom Perez as the head of the DNC, he was going along with the program of putting Trump in office for another 4 years, because I would have never put Tom Perez as the head of the DNC, because the man is weak, he's spineless, he has no vision, he has no foresight, and he's just a puppet in the tool. And that's why the Democrats, honestly, in my opinion, will not win, because of Tom Perez and his lack of leadership. And you know how I know it? Look what Bernie Sanders did on Fox News a couple of days ago. And he's talking about he's not going to have no debates in the Democratic Party or Fox News. That's crazy.
Well, all I'm saying is, because you took me on the scenic route today. You start talking about the report, and then you start talking about the Democrats and whether they are capable of facing Trump down. We don't know these things. We'll know when they tell us. And so far, we're just reading the landscape. But in the meantime, I would really encourage you to try and read the report. It's available. It's online. You can find it. Read it and see the arguments made. And then you have an entirely different appreciation for the report, its significance, its impact, and what we can do now that it's out there.
Have a good weekend, sis.
Thank you. Thanks so much for calling in. Jeff from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Jeff. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Good to hear you well and healthy, as always.
Thank you.
A couple of questions before I free my mind. First question, I'd sent a book as a gift to you via PRN. It was a book called They Called Her a Liar. I just wonder whether that actually reached you.
Not yet.
Not yet? Oh, I sent it last year in November or December.
Wow.
Okay.
Not yet.
I'll send another. And the other two questions are about Julian Assange. Earlier in the week, one of your callers had mentioned an NPR show where there was a Swedish translation of some of the, you know, some of the law aspects of the sexual assault case. And I listened on the archive. I tried, but I couldn't hear his name for that show. Or maybe you could. You said you were familiar with this show. Maybe you could mention it.
No, I don't know the name of the show that you're referring to.
Okay, I'll have to look into that. And then also, you had mentioned that there were reports that Assange had been, you know, putting his own feces on the walls of the embassy. And where was that story, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it was all over, since it was actually reported by the president of Ecuador.
Okay. I mean, okay, because that gives you some insight, I think, you know, with who, you never know whose story is factual
very,
or not.
It was a very, very unpleasant party. But, you know, I understand people are saying, well, let's Julian Assange give him a break, or people are so profoundly pro-Assange, they are not even willing to listen to any criticism of Assange. But we know over the years that Assange has indicated that he's not an easy person to get along with, even if you're trying to help him.
Yeah.
And here we have a country which is not a rich country by any means, taking him in, providing him diplomatic protection, while these charges loom of him, these sex charges, sexual assault and rape charges. These are very serious charges.
Of course, yeah.
From Sweden. But people don't want to deal with that, and I don't understand why. They automatically go into the mode of, well, it's all being made up to essentially attack Julian Assange. It's possible. Is it possible that it's true? Is it possible that the criticisms of Julian Assange and his behavior have some legitimacy? And how dare people just, you know, just outrightly just dismiss what the president of Ecuador is saying about Julian Assange? The fact that this is the allegation, that despite the fact of trying to help, Assange essentially decided that he would do whatever it is he wanted to do. And that was not the deal. The deal was you follow certain rules, because when you don't follow certain rules, you put the entire country of Ecuador at risk.
Mm.
Do not spy. Do not use this embassy. Do not spy from here. Do not do your regular thing from here. And it appeared, at least this is the charge, that he disregarded all of that. And he was found to have been continuing whatever it is he was doing, and was caught. And though warned about it, continued to do it. He exhibited, according to the reports, flagrant contempt for his hosts. And they just tried to help him out. And he showed very little appreciation or very little cooperation with what it is they asked him to do until something could be figured out. And this was not a snap decision. They had sheltered him since 2012. So for crying out loud, people need to, you know, I understand that there is a strong emotional sentiment around Julian Assange, but I also have to ask the question, what about these charges? It is not sufficient simply to say they were made up and they're lies. It has to be dealt with in some specific way. And
yeah,
especially
I agree.
Coming from a community that says that they support women and they basically support the rights of women to defend themselves against sexual assault and all of this stuff, sex crimes. Here you have someone, is it because of, is the opinion of a community based on emotion as opposed to fact? Do you want facts? Do facts really matter here?
Well, I do support Assange, but I hear you. I mean, this is such a polarized issue. The things that you're mentioning about the sexual assault have been pushed to one side, but I personally wouldn't really believe too much that's coming from the Ecuadorian government regarding, you know, supposedly family photos were released and then the feces on the wall. I think that they really wanted to demonize him, and we see that, you know, it's easy to demonize someone, anyone, with the mass media, and especially if the media likes that story, you know, the mainstream media certainly. And I'm watching a lot of
we need to ask Julian Assange some serious question. Is it his intention forever to ignore these charges against him in Sweden?
Well, I think regarding sorry to cut you off. When I called you before and I listened back, I noticed I cut you off, but I think it's like the delay. It's not on purpose, and it's not out of
reach. I understand.
But I think the charges of sexual assault had been dropped, and there seems something really spurious about the whole thing.
There's a charge of rape.
Yeah. I'm not trying to downplay that. I'm just trying to say that, you know, this charges can be concocted when you really, really want to get public enemy number one. And, he did, from what I understand, offer to be interviewed in the, you know, they had to travel to him, and he skipped bail because he saw what was going on with Chelsea Manning. You know, and, you know, the whole situation is not just in my opinion, not just in the Julian Assange bubble. It's regarding everything, the other, you know, Chelsea Manning or Bradley Manning's imprisonment, that, and then the Espionage Act being revived, and the attack on all the whistleblowers. So it wasn't in a bubble. I guess he was smart enough to know what the game plan is, and he's managed to delay the game plan 8 years. I don't mean that in a... I feel like he's been in prison for 8 years already, or however long he's been in the embassy and under charges.
But, he has not dealt with this responsibly, except doing everything possibly that he possibly can to evade prosecution. I get it.
Yeah. No, it's a really difficult situation because, he has these charges against him, and maybe, you know, decisions get made got made 8 years ago that might have been wiser to go to the Swedish authorities and stand trial. But, a court, especially these days, courts almost seem to not be anything about justice. They just have an agenda. I mean, coincidentally, the book that I sent you was about Tuana Brawley. And that was you have a situation right there, which tells you that the justice system, if it wants to work a certain way, just works a certain way. And you could apply that logic to Assange. Not that he was thinking about Tawana's story, but he would be talking about his own situation, where he's thinking, I know what's going to happen here. And he's probably thinking he could get to, some sympathy, world sympathy. But that's not to say you shouldn't stand charged. Anyway,
this is where I butt heads with progressives. Although I consider myself one also. There's a criminal matter here.
Yeah.
The criminal matter is Julian Assange has been charged with very serious crimes, and he basically left the country in order to evade the charges.
Yeah.
Now, why should that mean that he should get the wide support. It's the Bill Cosby stood trial or was made to stand trial for crimes that went more than 20, in some cases, 30 years without prosecution. So we can't play this game.
No, I don't. It's a game that I wish it was a more fair justice system where you could just, you know, show up in good faith.
What exactly is unfair? No, everybody's saying it's unfair, but meaning it's unfair that he's being prosecuted at all, or they're seeking to prosecute him, and that's unfair. Because what? Because he's Julian Assange, and because he says he didn't do it. That does not suffice.
Defense. That's not really my argument. I'm just making a larger case where the whistleblowers who got imprisoned under Obama, and as opposed to the offenders, you know, who they were blowing the whistle on, didn't go. So.
But
you know,
we are very
when you
clear,
fill in the
we
sexual
not?
Assault,
wait,
it brings a whole other dynamic,
clear,
which I all want to respect. It just makes it. It's almost.
We are very clear. I just want to say this. We are very clear that Julian Assange is not being sought for prosecution because he is a whistleblower. He's being sought for prosecution because he allegedly raped and sexually attacked people. That's the reason they want him.
That's a very true distinction. But
the background of it.
Yeah, but I don't know.
But let's be clear. And that's the question I'm asking. Yeah. Why is it now the sentiment has extended to the country of Ecuador, which was really trying to do him a grand favor? And he didn't honor that. He, in fact, was very openly contemptuous and was behaving erratically and disrespectfully to an entire nation that was trying to help him out. And
I don't disagree, but it seems to me that the guy's really in a no-win situation. He's trying to do something that
he
I think he would agree is a
there.
Big
That's
service.
My point. It's not that he's in a no-win situation. It is that he is in a very precarious position in which he put himself.
But before there was any sexual assault and before there was any disrespecting of the Ecuadorian government, he was providing a public service, I would call
it.
Oh, no,
wait a minute.
To the world.
That's not, no, because you're attempting to conflate two completely unrelated things. His alleged criminal responsibility on a criminal side has nothing to do with his altruistic service to the world.
Right, it's the same as Roman Polanski or something of that nature. You know, he's a great artist, but he's also, you know, was found to be, having sexual relations with a 15-year-old girl.
Nobody gave consideration to Bill Cosby for his philanthropy over many, many years. And
I have no regard for that, gentlemen. I don't see him in the same way.
My view, too, was, did he commit these crimes? I still don't think he got a fair trial. But he is accountable, as is Julian Assange, his whistleblowing notwithstanding, and complicating his conduct with the Ecuadorian government, which I think is atrocious. And none of the people in the progressive world seems to want to acknowledge the fact that there are serious issues here for which he is mostly, if not totally, responsible. That's the question.
Well, I don't know whether he's responsible. He's answerable. But the thing is now, he's not going to be extradited to Sweden, I don't think. They're going to try and extradite him to America. So you're absolutely correct. He does have to stand trial or, you know, before the Swedish justice system. But that's not going to happen first. The order of things is, from what I understand, we don't know for sure, they're going to extradite him to America. And they're not even going to, the Americans aren't going to put him on trial for sexual assault. They're going to try and get him for the public service that I believe he's given us. So, again, it's kind of like, you know, case, the two issues have been blended.
In his own
creation of his own mistakes, errors.
In which case, the original crime that he allegedly committed, or crimes that he allegedly committed, now take a backseat to convenience. It would be far more convenient for the U.S. government to have their hands on him, and that is, again, through his fault of not dealing with this matter in Sweden the way he should have. He could have gotten a great lawyer. He could have tried to mitigate the circumstances, or he could have gone headstrong in defending himself against these crimes with whatever defense he has. But he's playing games. And he's playing games because he's banking on the sympathies of the world that would overlook whatever it is he wants them to overlook. And now he's in more serious water. Was it a smarter idea for him to stand trial in Sweden? Or is it now a worse choice of allowing himself to fall in the hands of the United States? And they will have a field day with him. He will not be able to disconnect from these charges as easily as you'd think. So I think he made a very bad mistake, and I think that he got very bad advice. And I think that he also needlessly, but maybe this is part of the effect of being isolated, that you start adopting ideas and attitudes that you normally would not. But I can't imagine how his behavior, as described by the Ecuadorians, could possibly be normal and regular and tolerable. I can't imagine that. Thanks a lot for your call. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Hello, wonderfully divine Utrice.
Oh, I've been promoted. How you doing, Harvey?
Pretty good. Well, I was wondering if you've seen these recent pictures of the recent picture of the black hole in space.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, now that astronomers and researchers at the National Space Foundation have generated a picture of a black hole which is located at the center of a galaxy known as Messier 87, I believe that there's the very real possibility that we can use these black holes as transportation portals into other universes, other times and dimensions, or perhaps as a shortcut to other parts of our very own cosmos by flying into the black hole at the center of our own very own Milky Way galaxy and emerging in a different galaxy. And here's why I think that this is more than possible, to travel through black holes to other cosmic destinations. We know that large hurricanes and tornadoes, which are giant spinning vortexes, have an eye, a calm spot located at their center. For example, when we see water swirling down a kitchen drain, there's an eye, a calm spot at the center of the whirlpool of spinning water. And according to that old saying, as above, so below, or in this case, as below, so above, there's a very good possibility that there's an eye, a tunnel, a portal of safety at the very center of these gravitational wells, these giant spinning black holes, that our spaceships can use to traverse time and space. And as far as I'm concerned, space is the place because there's no place like space. And I say, let's get intergalactic.
Okay. You know that about, not quite half, but a substantial amount of what you say sometimes requires me to go do additional reading or to talk to my nephew who understands these things. So I guess I'll have to talk to my nephew.
Okay. Well,
thanks, Harvey.
I love you.
Thanks. Thanks so much for your call. Love you too. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, you, Trees. How you doing?
Okay. How's by you?
Well, New York is New York. Gentrification is around, and you know how it is. Yesterday, I was on the on a protest, on a march over, you know, we crossed the Brooklyn Bridge, and is we're supposed to be a non-fracking state, but there is a pipeline that they wanted to put through, so I was there last night. So that's one thing that I was doing. You know, it's always New York City, there's always something going on. So I just wanted to say something to Jay that, yes, I will have to say he was incorrect. There is two black men being interviewed at the Real News, Gerald Horn and Kamal Franklin, that they're talking about the report. So if he wants to hear a different kind of view on two black people talking about the report, just go. They were interviewed, I believe, yesterday. So he could go to the Real News and he will see it. And you, Trees, I'm not in the Assange van wagon, but I will have to tell you, Professor, that I do disagree with you in a lot of the things that you're saying about Assange. And I'm no Assange fan because I have a problem with him. I have a problem with Assange because I don't know exactly where he comes from, meaning his views and the thing that he had done, but I would say that almost all the information that he put out there, they have been almost 100% accurate. One of the things that I would say is that since the Moreno administration took over in Ecuador, a human rights person said that the situation for Assange changed completely at the embassy, completely. At one time, for 7 to 8 months, Assange didn't have a book, radio, internet, not even his lawyers that were able to visit him. And right now, Moreno has, I believe, is the vice president of Ecuador in jail. And last night, I was watching Telesur, where this man, Pitino, they're looking for him to put him in jail because he had been talking about the Moreno's administration and the corruption and how much money this man had gotten, him and his family, and how United States, the 2 days before, they had given him $4 billion, and I think 2 days or a day before, Assange was taken into custody.
Okay.
And another thing about that, I just wanted to say this. And when you talk about the rape, what I read about those rapes is not really rape what we know as we know it. Assange had, in Sweden, there is a law that if you have sex with somebody, either the night or I don't know how they put it, and you don't use a condom, the person can go and accuse you of rape. And this situation happened, I think, the woman came around, I think it was 7 months after it happened. That is why the reason that he had been accused of raping this woman. And I believe all the charges have been, he doesn't have any indictment right now in Sweden. That's the way I understand this. I have been watching Telesur. And if anyone wanted to know the really, really what is happening in Ecuador right now, they just had to, whoever speaks Spanish, go to the Telesur because there is a gentleman who does a show directly from Ecuador. And the situation, what is happening with Moreno right now, is what happened with a lot of older administration, especially in Brazil, that the people that are against you, you put in jail, and that is what's happening. It's the same situation like in Brazil. Right now, Correa is not even living in Ecuador because Moreno is trying to put him in jail, and he has some kind of case against him. And this is what's happening. It's happening in Brazil. It's happening in Spain. And this is what is going on around the world. And
which is all the more reason, I think, which is all the more reason. You see, this is, we keep, again, conflating things that really, they are related distantly, but not in the instant situation that we are hoping to address. The question is, Julian Assange has been on the run with regard to these charges. He has no intention, clearly, of going to trial on any charges. He has no intention of it. And he has been on the run. Now, how it is that he expects not to be held accountable once an indictment had been voted against him? How does he explain this? And why do people accept that an exception should be made here because, well, he's Julian Assange and he's done a lot? I don't disagree with that. He's Julian Assange. He's done a lot. But I'm trying to locate the show that I did some years ago in which I talked about this intelligence, counterintelligence from the likes of Snowden and Assange and others, that they display disturbing patterns of behavior directly related to their notions of their own power, what they will agree to do and what they will not agree to do. They are governments unto themselves. I talked about that, and I warned against it, and here we are. The issue with Assange, for me, I do not dispute how important his work has been and still is. I do not in any way detract from that. His work was exemplary in the sense that even as a whistleblower, because that's what a whistleblower does, a whistleblower takes on the risk in order to get his work done. That is part of the equation. That's what should be understood. That's what whistleblowers do. So we shouldn't make an extraordinary exemption for Assange, but that's what he chose to do. That's what his work is. That's fine. But don't tell me that because you've been doing this work, you are to be exempt from the law. No, you've got to answer. You've got to answer. And the community has to be clear about that and has to make the distinction and differentiation. Your work is your work. Great. Fantastic. But now we have these charges. Let's resolve them. And you don't resolve them by going on the run. In fact, you endorse the view that the charges against you are legitimate. If the charges against you are illegitimate, you fight them. And there are enough people, millions of people all over the world, who would stand with him as he fights these charges. But he prefers instead to run. And I don't particularly think that portrays in him a good quality. And the issue, again, this is a community that says they will not tolerate sexual abuse of women. And look what they're doing. They're tolerating sexual abuse of women.
Okay. But you see, my understanding of this whole thing, as he's being indicted, okay? And this is the situation. I understand what you're saying, and I like it. I said to you, I always have problems with Assange because I don't know for what government he was really working for. That I always had that problem.
But
listen to what I have to say. This indictment, and he knew it all along about these rape charges, and the whole world knew this too. It's about United States bringing him here for this crime that they were committed, that he showed. That is why Chelsea Manning is right now, before they went into the embassy, they took this woman and they put her in jail because they want her to speak or to have her to go to court to speak against him. I understand why you're saying that he had been on the run for these charges, which I actually disagree too, because we knew what these charges will be turned out to be. This woman came, and as a woman, I have to admit that is very disturbing that a guy who went out with a woman to bed and then had another woman the next or 2 days, whatever, and then you don't protect yourself, because that is the law in Sweden, that if you don't protect yourself, that you could be charged as a rapist, even though it was a consensual sex. And that's what the report, that what I read before, it says. And let you, and what I wanted to say, yes, he's in the run, but how about these people that they killed these two journals in Iraq, and they kill all these people.
Ali, you can't conflate the two. Assange's case is Assange's case. Another case is another case. Don't make
them
the same.
But that's what he's being indicted for. That is what they're bringing him to United States.
No, well, the point, yes, they will bring him to the United States. The question we need to ask is, to what degree is Assange's own conduct responsible for the jam that he's in now? And why is he entitled to be expunged, to have these charges expunged? Because he's Julian Assange. That's the question. To what degree is he personally responsible for the jam that he's in? Look, when you occupy a certain position in life, it's like Trump. It's an amazing thing that he hasn't been busted in the backseat of a limousine yet, because he's so reckless. You occupy a particular place in society, and in the eyes of millions of people, you have to watch yourself. And you cannot allow yourself to fall into the trap that you know inevitably they're setting for you. You know it. So now the work now is, what can he negotiate, if anything, at this stage? What can be negotiated? He's seen as an enemy of the United States. And here is where they intend to bring him, because he failed to understand his responsibilities to himself. And they're using this the same way they will use it. They're using it, and it will be his undoing. It's the same thing with Bill Cosby. You have a situation where any really competent lawyer could have undone these charges, but didn't. I'm not trying to minimize, but it is usually, to me, it is unusually bizarre that a person could be held responsible for a rape that occurred 20, 25 years ago, allegedly, but be held, not only be held accountable for it, but convicted of it. No witnesses, nothing. Now, that to me was a signal for real defense lawyers to go crazy in this country and talk about the miscarriage of justice in that case. But the government had already signified that it was carrying the torch for white women in this country. And this black man had to pay, no matter what station in life he was at, no matter how much money he had, he was to be reduced to just another criminal, which is where he is right now. So Assange, it comes back to Assange. Assange has a personal accounting to do here. He messed up. He messed up big time. And the expectation, this is what really annoys me. He expects that he's to be vindicated. Now, I don't know his mental condition. I imagine that he's every day tense. And I mean, I can't imagine the kind of pressure that he's under every single day. But all of these things become academic questions in the moment. In the moment, we have to deal with the straight facts and how he gets out of it, if he gets out of it. Thanks, Ali, for your call.
Thank you.
Jason from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Good afternoon to you.
Hello.
And your listeners.
Thank you.
Is it okay if I disagree with you?
Sure. I especially like that.
Okay. Since time is running out, let me be brief. I don't think you can compare Julian Assange and Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby had malicious intent by drugging his women and then having sex with them. Julian Assange had consensual sex. The ladies in Sweden with Julian Assange said that they had dropped the case, but were promoted and prompted to reopen the case and depress the case by British and American prosecutors. So it's a little bit different there. I really don't think that
there is a very strong similarity, and it has to do with the individual who ended up getting charged with crimes.
Abuse of women is always bad, but once I said consensual sex is different from non-consensual sex, and no matter
that was not part of the discussion in Sweden. The discussion in Sweden had nothing to do with the consensuality of sex.
I disagree with you. It did. I disagree with you. Originally with Julian Assange, when they first came out with these allegations, Assange and his lawyers said that they will have any type of meeting available. In fact, Assange said that he would go to Sweden for trial to clear this all up, as long as he would not be deported to America. And that was the only thing stopping this whole thing. So basically, what they did was, let me finish, please. And then the Swedish prosecutors, they had dropped the charges. And the British people, the British prosecutors, prompted them not to drop the charges. So these charges were always spurious, in effect. Your last caller, who was talking about
Hold on for a second. It's not spurious. These charges are not spurious. The charges were made within the context of Swedish law.
Now, the charges were dropped, and then they were opened up again. They want to open up the charges even today, months after they were dropped. In order for Sweden to open up these charges at this time, these charges have to go to the Supreme Court of Sweden. And even when they go to the Supreme Court in Sweden, they will not be opened up again. This is the legal advice from Swedish lawyers. But let me continue, please, because I know time is running out. And I just want to say that, you know, I want to talk about the Mueller report. And to me, the Mueller report is just like, first of all, my question is this. Is this Robert Mueller the same Mueller that was part of the 9/11 report?
Yes.
Okay, well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, as an American citizen, I have dubious faith in this type of situation, you know? After the 9/11 report, analysis worldwide, at least the 2,000 engineers and architects, talked about how the 9/11 report was garbage. And yet that didn't really spur anything at all. So now Mueller comes again here with this. Mueller's a Republican. How the Democrats could have ever thought that a Republican was going to burn Trump is ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. To me, it was just a waste of time. Really, it's more than that. This is conscious diversion. This is conscious Hollywood. You know, this is an attempt to keep you away from, you know, seeing about all the other things that are going on. If I had a voice in America, I would ask, you know, where'd all this money go to? The Pentagon's missing trillions of dollars. You know, the government is misusing trillions of dollars. And this is one of my questions in terms of, you know, the Mueller report and everything we're hearing about now. The Mueller report is not important. They're not going to prosecute him because they like the way they like Trump's foreign policy. Trump has given them a lot of money, the people in power, with the tax breaks. He's given more money to the military. He's given them a lot. He's thinking about another tax break now. So they're not going to really change anything. But also, and more importantly, he is controlled by a foreign power himself. Instead of going to find out about Russian collusion, he should talk about, well, they should have investigated Israeli collusion, British collusion, French collusion, German collusion. See, so they were being very biased because they're all colluding all the time.
Yeah, but I think you're missing the point. I don't disagree with you on the points that you have made, but I think you're missing the big picture here. The big picture is about the conduct of a president and the alleged conduct of a president and those who concern him in a situation that otherwise could be looked at as reason to prosecute the president for collusion and obstruction of justice. That's all that
right
was.
I think you're following the diversion. I don't really think that that's really the question. The question is, they don't really want to disrupt Israeli control over the United States Senate and the United States Congress. In the Senate, you've got Schumer. And in Congress, you've got Pelosi.
I'm sorry, I'm not going there. Because you're making a false argument. And you refuse to understand admit what you're doing. I'm not going there. Make a legitimate argument, fine. But let's not go into that thing, which is the reason I've had to take on Congresswoman Omar for her conduct. We have to learn how to debate things. So we're not seen as just coming up with these rabid opinions and making them legitimate simply by saying them. No, you have to account for it. The same way we talk about Assange. You're a great guy, but now you are faced with, you're charged with crimes. Account for it. That's all I'm saying. Thanks a lot for your calls, and I wish you the best over the weekend. Those of you who celebrate, thank you for joining me today. Don't forget, on Monday, a special presentation by Gary. I will not be on Monday. And we'll talk on Tuesday. Bye-bye.